We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go! Zach!
What? Why not? Sports Radio 92.9, the game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. 11 o'clock hour, jam-packed. College Football Corner coming up in 20 minutes. Get back into some of the recruiting news from yesterday. Also, what I found to be a very interesting theory from Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports on how to try to even the playing field a little bit in college football, because it's kind of the same teams every single year in the college football playoff, isn't it? Not the exact same teams.
Be better.
Yeah, be better. That would be one way. He had another theory as well. We'll get to that in 20 minutes. The Wendy Zone at 11:40.
Bang.
These two guys on the other side of the glass, Wendy, of course, and Jahi Whitehead, have really been hyping up the Wendy Zone today.
And it's not even a hype up about it, Andy. It's the fact that how mad Wendy and Jahi are about this story that I'm already used to.
Okay, so you knew about this story.
Yeah, I've been knew about it. Yeah.
I have no idea about this person.
She's hot right now.
I don't know who's more angry, Wendy. It's Wendy. Well, it Wendy or Jahi? No, it's Wendy.
They're hot back there.
Yeah,
and
they
I'm just like, y'all didn't know this?
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't know it. Because I think this is the thing that you know about if you have kids.
Yes. If you got kids,
and
you know
and
about
Jahi
it.
Have kids, and me and Wendy don't. So I think that's a part of why.
Yes.
But anyway.
It's pretty funny, though.
Wendy's coming in hot in 40 minutes from
right
now. So be sure to be here for that. It's going to be fantastic. But we always start the 11 o'clock hour with the NFL No Huddle, brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep warm. Get a precision R.S. Andrews furnace tune-up, another way they make you smile. And we'll start right here with Matt Ryan.
I think, you know, the number one thing for us offensively is handling their defensive line. I think they're extremely productive. They've got some talented players. You know, we've got to slow down and neutralize their pass rush and, you know, try and, you know, extend drives and get into them and try and wear them down a little bit. But they're very good up front and obviously coming off a big win last weekend.
Yeah. And Matt Ryan telling us, you know, basically what's true about most football games, most weekends. Now, the Jaguars have a better pass rush than the average team. They're probably a top five pass rush in the NFL.
So another
Saxonville, maybe Saclana will show up this weekend as well, if that's something that you feel comfortable saying.
Not at all.
Yeah, neither. But it will be a good test for the offensive line, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something because the thing that, for me, as we look at the end of this season, there's a number of big picture things that really matter. Look, every play in the game matters because you want to make sure guys don't get hurt and guys have to get to incentives. And I mean, it's just fun to watch your football team play on Sundays, like all these obvious things. But then there's big picture stuff too, like, you know, who's the head coach going to be next year and who's going to be on the team next year and what does the young offensive line on the right side look like? We'll hear from Caleb McGarry in just a minute, but that's what I care a lot about right now, because the big imperative of the last offseason, the Thomas promise, as we called was to fix the offensive line.
And he didn't.
He didn't.
No,
yeah,
he didn't.
He didn't do that.
No.
Now, part of it, at least a little bit of it, was Chris Lindstrom getting hurt in the first game of the season.
I agree. But that wasn't the key, though, because
you
went out there and upgraded that position.
He did.
As far as guys that you signed to be backups. Didn't work out. It's okay. Didn't work out.
It didn't.
Okay. That's why I said, if Dan does stay, one or both got to go, all right? And I'm looking more on the personnel guy. I said this yesterday. Because these are the typical things that when an owner does not want to pretty much blow everything up, he'll fire the general manager and keep the head coach, hire another general manager, and let that new general manager fire that coach.
Does the thought process or like the philosophy that you used in your decision-making matter when it comes time to saving your job? Here's what I'm asking. Because I mean, there have been signings that Thomas Dimitroff has made that haven't worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time that he did them, we're like, okay, we get it. Like,
all right.
Like Devontae Freeman, he earned his contract.
He did.
Now, you know, running backs and this era and all that stuff, the position has been devalued to a certain level, and a lot of people don't even think you should give running backs big contracts anymore. Devontae Freeman could be an argument for that. But at the time, it made sense, right? Devontae's coming off great seasons. Like, they're going to the Super Bowl. You understand wanting to give Devontae that money. Now, it's been a disaster ever since then.
Right.
Like, Devontae Freeman's been hurt and hasn't been the same player. The same thing could be said about the offensive linemen that he signed this offseason with Carpenter and Jamon Brown. Like, at the time, it's like, okay, we get it. They're big.
Yep.
They're proven in the NFL. They're not great players, but they're good players. And when you're replacing the guys that you had on the offensive line the last couple of years with these guys who are at least proven NFL players, the philosophy of it made sense. Now, in hindsight,
disaster. It didn't work out.
Now, you get judged on hindsight as a general manager,
damn
right?
Sure. You're okay, damn
good.
Right, you do.
Okay, good.
Well, yeah. When you look at the personal decision that have been made when it comes to offensive linemen, I mean, we do know this. They got three, would you say, definite stars next year. We look at Caleb.
Yes.
You look at Chris Landstrom, and then you look at Jake Matthews.
Yes.
So, that means you got to get two more guys. Who are those three guys going to be? Now, I mean, we were kicking this notion around about Gano because it seems like they like this young man right a lot.
Yeah.
It looks like they like him a lot. And he played a lot of guard in that first game. Chris Lynch was back. That's why I brought up the subject. Can he be that other guard? Because you would think after the preseason that he had and all this talk about him, even though he's been hurt, he'd have been rotating at tackle because you remember that's where they wanted to play him at. So that's another thing. Who knows what's going to happen with Alex Mack?
You probably can answer this question better than most. We always talk about guys that can play multiple positions on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have those guys, especially if they're backups, right? Yeah. You can have somebody, if you need a tackle for a half, you can have him as tackle.
Right.
If you need a guard for a couple games. If you can play tackle generally, can you play guard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not the other way around.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's hard to go from inside to out, but it's easy to go from inside outside to in.
Sure. And so if Gano could play tackle, maybe they feel comfortable with him playing guard.
Maybe he can. And you know, and you're always going to talk about, you know, one of the questions right here Wendy has on our rundown, could the players convince Arthur Blank to retain? I mean, it's going to be like, is it? This is a hard decision for him, but I was thinking about this when I was reading his question this morning. How hard was it for him to fire Mike Smith?
Let me read the exact question, okay?
Yeah.
As a player, how much say do you truly have in keeping a coach?
You don't.
Because here's what Matt Ryan said yesterday. Quote, he's just so real with the players. This is about Dan Quinn. He's just so real with the players. He's got great connections and personal relationships with all of us, and the guys love him. That's really a huge part of what he's been able to do to kind of keep things headed in the right direction with the tough start that we've had.
I get all that. That's what I'm saying. So what's the difference between Mike Smith? Did the players not love Mike Smith like this? I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm saying because I wasn't here. I wasn't here when Mike Smith.
The one thing I would say, and this is a theory because I wasn't either. I was in another city covering another team. Matt Ryan has a bit more cachet today than he did then.
That's so much. Right? You're 100% correct on that.
Matt Ryan's opinion, while he was the franchise quarterback then, he's been an MVP now. He's got a $150 million contract.
Yeah.
Again, if I'm Arthur Blank, I'm making the decision that I think is right. Now, I probably have some people that I ask for help making that decision or ask for input.
Right.
Rich McKay, whoever. Like, whoever's in my inner circle to help make that decision. I'm using them as a sounding board and taking their considerations in mind when I make that choice.
Uh-huh.
And Matt Ryan might be one of them, but he's not the guy. Like, if Matt Ryan just loves Dan Quinn, that's not the reason I'm keeping Dan Quinn. I can't do that. That's just me. Now, you've been there before. You've seen coaches fired.
Yes, I have.
Unfortunately,
I go back to it. When Dave Wannstedt left, nobody was crying. Nobody was like, okay. You know, but he resigned. When Linehan got fired, nobody cared. You know, nobody was like, you know, because we knew he was a lame duck. We knew he was. We knew he's a lame duck when he took us to Concordia, Wisconsin for damn training camp. All right, we were like, what are you doing?
Before the season started,
we're like,
damn.
Man, you know you are a sitting duck when you're at the end of practice, you know, the coach calls him up and whatever you're talking about and the other coaches are like behind you laughing. And we're looking at it was rough.
That's a bad situation.
It was rough.
That's in St. Louis?
I say this all the time. I would love to play for Dan Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because to me, everything that Matt Ryan just said, it seems like it's not made up. Now, I've been around Dan. I didn't play for him, but he was on the staff when I was for a couple of years. And he's a guy that does connect with players. He does keep it 100 with you and all that. You know what I'm saying? You know what you're going to get from him. But with that being set aside, results are results. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I just look at it like that. And we got a Twitter. What's this dude talking about? How can TD be the blame? when we always say the Falcons have talent. Yeah, they got talent, but we're talking about the talent where it needs to be at. Yeah, he know how to draft wide receivers. Yeah, he know how to draft a quarterback, a running back. But this ain't 707. If you were 707, hell yeah, the Falcons would win the Super Bowl. We're talking about the line.
Yeah.
All right, we're talking about that's where Thomas Dimitroff has failed over and over and over again. And what I mean by that's why he needs to go. And if you're not, and again, if you're going to get rid of one of them, if you're just going to get rid of one of them, he needs to go.
Now, to be fair to Kerry's point on Twitter, that's why I think that you should get rid of everyone.
Yes, because me and Andy are.
It has been a collective failure.
Me and Andy are under the impression that both got to go. You got to start over.
Right.
You got to start over. Okay, it was great. It had a nice day. You had some great moments. There should be a Lombardi Trophy up there in Flowery Branch, but it's not.
But
that's the closest they've gotten to one. Now, I know it's not the first Super Bowl. They weren't close in the Broncos game. Let's just call it what it is. But I'm talking about that's the closest that you've been. Great. Kudos.
Yeah.
If you win it, then you get more leeway.
Wait, if you win it, then Dan Quinn going 7-9 this season and fixing it in the second half of the year matters more. And I know that seems, I don't know, silly, I guess, but not really. Like, Super Bowls are what matters most. The reason for doing any of this is to win Super Bowls, right?
That's all about
it. That's the point of all of this.
Yes.
And coming close is great. That's nice. That affords you some slack.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but not as much as winning one.
No.
And this is what we talked about with Sean Payton a couple days ago. Like, Sean Payton got to go 7-9 3 years in a row
because
he had the Lombardi Trophy up on the shelf.
And people think of him as a much superior coach than that. They do. They look at him as a top-five coach in the International Football League.
All right, as we're talking about young guys that have a chance to prove something, Jerome Henderson talked about Bleedy Ray Wilson filling in for Dez Trufant.
Bleedy is one of those guys that doesn't need a lot of reps to get ready to play. He is one of those guys that steps up to the challenge. If you look at him last year when he went in, may have been the year before where True was out, that he played the same way. He went in, made plays, stepped up, and played at a high level. He did that last week as well.
How many picks should Bleedy have had on Sunday?
He should have had two on Sunday.
Yes, at least.
So Bleedy Ray Wilson's going to be a starter for the next 2 weeks, and he's got Gardner Minshew and Jameis Winston. Like, if Bleedy Ray Wilson's trying to make a compelling case for longevity with the Falcons, get a couple picks in
but
the next
couple
weeks.
But you know what's so funny? We always are like, hey, Bleedy Ray Wilson. Well, he does when he comes in. He just makes plays,
he
does
a pretty good job.
He makes plays when he comes in.
Yeah. Jameis will throw it to you.
Oh, he gets it. No,
catch
it. They're going to have at least 200 interceptions against Jameis.
Jameis Winston's going to throw for 5,000 yards this year.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get back into some Falcons stuff, top of the noon hour, with the most important audio in the world. Coming up next, though, College Football Corner. And a potential really big injury that could have an impact on the college football playoff. We didn't know about this until yesterday. We'll talk about it next, right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's College Football Corner. News and notes from around the world of college football with former 92.9 The Game bowling champion Andy Bunker.
Big freaking deal.
And the best tight end in UGA history, Randy McMichael.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. 20 minutes away from the Wendy Zone, which I'm looking forward to because Wendy's fired up.
She's still mad.
You can see it through the glass. Very angry.
Still mad.
You'll find out why coming up in 20 minutes from right now. Jahi also angry about
it. Yes, he is.
But not as angry as Wendy is. Okay? So we'll get to that 20 minutes from right now in the Wendy Zone. They're just boiling. Look at her. She's not listening to us right now. That's funny. Anyway, most important audio in the world also coming up top of the noon hour. Now, I wanted to start here with Kirby. Now, this is not recruiting related. We'll get back to recruiting in a minute with Georgia Tech and the overall day. And if I had to put my finger on the most surprising thing from recruiting from the signing day yesterday, it is the number 78, and we'll get to that in a minute as well, because this is mind-boggling. I would imagine some people probably don't know this yet. But let's start here with Kirby Smart talking about the actual bowl game.
Well, when you watch them on tape, they really play hard, toughness, competitive. I think Coach Rule does a tremendous job. The turnaround he's been able to do there is really incredible. They've played in a lot of really tough games this year. Got a lot of respect for their conference, having played Texas from their conference last year, and they do a fabulous job. So our guys, we really just kind of started on them specifically today, but we've had three or four practices that were more fundamental based, and the coaches have been working towards getting ready for Baylor.
So again, that's Kirby Smart obviously talking about Baylor there. We failed to mention Matt Rule's name the other day when we were talking about if Ed Orgeron obviously was the AP Coach of the Year, who maybe got some votes.
Yeah.
Matt Rule deserves some votes.
Yeah, he did his
for
thing,
what he's
man.
Done in that program.
Yes. I just remember when they hired him, like, why would he go get there? Why would he go there?
I
mean, he's done a phenomenal job. He's a great coach. And Kirby's like, they do play hard. And I'm not going to try to do have a built-in excuse for Georgia, but Baylor wants to be in this game. And I'm sure Georgia wants to be in there. And I
hope they do.
I don't think that they'll have that same, like, feeling of last year when they went to Sugar Bowl. I think they'll take this a little bit more serious.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I'm having a conversation with some folks on Twitter right now, Bo Morgan, our buddy John, the Miami fan, about teams convincing themselves fans of teams convincing themselves that bowl games don't matter. Mm-hmm. So when their team goes out and does what Georgia did last year, then they could say, see, who cares? I can't live like that.
I've never lived like that. But my thing, and this is the frustrating part about the college football playoff, it makes me fun to go to bowl games. You know what I'm saying? It never mattered. Now it seems because of the college football playoffs, now all of a sudden you're getting the questions about these kids. Are you going to play? Everybody played. Mm-hmm. Who else played? You know what I'm saying? Because it was always the computer-generated game. Whoever went to 1-2, and you knew you were going to go to Sugar Orange, somewhere, wherever you were going to go. And you're like, cool, let's go play this thing. It was never crossed anybody's mind not to play in a football game. Now, it's like the first thing, if you're 5, 6, 7, or whatever, and you got guys that are going to be top 10 picks on those teams, the first question they're asked is, are you going to play in the bowl game?
Right.
You know, I mean,
and then when guys say yes,
everybody's like, oh, you see? Right. You see, that is a fine young man there.
Some people say that. Good voice. I don't know who you were impersonating.
Young man there.
I think I've met him.
That's our.
But then other people.
Nate at the newspaper stand.
That's newspaper Nate.
Newspaper Nate.
And then other people say he works with Timmy Tube Socks, their colleagues.
Yeah.
Other people will say, well, he shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that he should.
He shouldn't play.
If he does, he's doing this, that, or the other. First of all, Timmy or whoever you might be, it's his decision. So let him make the decision that he wants to make.
Why can't we do that?
Let the kid make the decision he wants to make. Because look, I support either side of it. Like if DeAndre Swift plays in Georgia's bowl game, great. That means I get to see DeAndre Swift play again.
Right.
Because that's probably the last time he's J.R. Reed. If J.R. Reed is going to play, awesome. J.R. Reed's been my favorite player on Georgia's football team the last 3 seasons. I'm excited to watch him play one more time.
Right.
I mean, obviously I'm going to go into the game hopeful that he stays healthy, but I go into every game hopeful that every player stays healthy. Like, that's not different for me.
Right.
But people want to talk about the business decision that you're making.
But it's always them talking about their business decision.
Other people's decisions.
People are always worried about somebody else's business.
Yes, they are.
Like, dude, go over there.
Yes.
You know? No. Okay. What's the other, the phrase? Well, if it was me. Well, you know what? You should have asked God to make you taller. All right? Okay? It ain't you.
Wait, you
it
got to you. Ask for that? Dang it.
Yeah, or I'm sorry. You should have been just born with better genetics.
Okay. I was going to say, because I wasn't all there right? that day. I would have asked for that for sure. This ended up not being quite as tall as I wanted to be. But that's all right. I'm good. Now, back to the bowl games, because I'm with you, Randy. When you were a kid, what was it for you? What was the game? Like, when you're watching college football and you're like, the bowl game that if you were lucky enough to play college football, which you were, it was a Rose Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Me too. And that one, it's so disappointing to hear people. I remember the Huskies were in the Rose Bowl last year, and there were actual fans of the team, people that I'm friends with, that were like, I don't care that much because it's not the – it's the Rose Bowl.
It's the Rose
– like, don't disrespect the – it's the granddaddy of them all. I know it's not the playoff,
right,
okay?
Right.
Get over yourself.
Dude, that's the same – Freaky was talking about it when all this was announced. I mean, you're like, dude, you remember, like, the Orange Bowl? Like, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
The Sugar Bowl, it was a big deal. I get it. Even the Peach Bowl, when it was played on – because we played Virginia in the Peach Bowl. I think it was, like, a couple days after Christmas, usually the 28th or something like that. Dude – that was a fun bowl to go to, man. I mean, it was just, but now it just doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. And it's unfair to a lot of these kids because let them make their decision. All right. They don't want to play in a bowl game. Okay. That's fine. I'm not mad at you, but I just remember when it was like, okay, we know we're not going to that championship game. What bowl are we going to? And can we get to Florida somewhere? Can we get to Florida?
Right.
That was the biggest thing. Let's go to Florida somewhere and have a bowl game, have a good time for a whole week. And just go play against a team that we would never play.
Yeah, the thing, we were always, okay, I didn't play, but guys would always say, if you can't make the Rose Bowl, be bad enough to go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
go to that bowl game and go play Hawaii.
Lord, have mercy.
Well, from here, that's a long flight.
Long
from out there, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
Let's hear Jeff Collins yesterday talking about what a good day Georgia Tech had in recruiting.
We are not just collecting talent. We are building a program. The guys that we've brought into this program are tremendous athletes. The thing that I've talked about since I've gotten here is we have to get longer, taller, rangier athletes on this roster.
Again, Jeff Collins talking about the good day that Georgia Tech had yesterday, their best recruiting class in 12 years.
Which is not surprising.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Jeff Collins was a part of that staff that helped put together that recruiting class back in 07. Mm-hmm. He was the recruiting coordinator in 06 that recruited a lot of those guys. So, again, not surprising that bringing him back led to better recruiting. And you and I are the same on this. Recruiting class rankings and stars and all that stuff is fine, whatever. Care about it as much as you want. Show me what you can do when you get on the field as an athlete in college. But there is a direct correlation between the teams that tend to be atop the recruiting rankings and the teams that are in the college football playoff every single year. Recruiting tends to be an indicator of the health of the program.
It's a bloodline, man.
So when you see, and again, kudos to Georgia Tech getting into the top 25 with recruiting. Kudos to Georgia for having another top five recruiting class. When you see USC, the University of Southern California, who had the fourth best recruiting class in the nation 2 years ago, at number 78.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
How does that happen?
I don't know. And that's what we talk about with that program is, what the hell are they doing? I mean, I know Helton is surprisingly, they're winning 10 games still, but is he the answer?
Clearly.
Because this is what we know. And I got this from my man JC, John Chucker, and he's absolutely correct. The Pac-12 will not be relevant until USC is.
I agree.
Sorry. You can have Oregon with all their pretty uniforms and all their whatever. That conference and that side of the country is all about University of Southern Cal. How the heck did they fall so low so fast? And it's not even low. They're still winning 10 games. But that's not what you expect from the premier program out west, because that's what USC is. Mm-hmm. They're the premier program in the West.
Oh, absolutely. Oregon came close for a minute.
No.
But that's just a brief
minute. It was cute. Oregon was cute.
And look, Oregon was cute. I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, Oregon was cute. It warms my heart
to hear you be petty towards Oregon.
Yeah.
But
Oregon was cute.
They had a minute where it was like, oh, wow, okay. Like, guys wanted to go there. They had all the money, all that stuff. But it's tradition matters to a certain extent.
Yes.
Maybe not with kids that are 17 and 18.
Right.
But the perception of your program, like, it takes so long to get to the level of a school like that, like an Alabama or like whatever teams you want to put into that category.
Right.
USC's in the category.
Yes.
They're one of those. They're a blue blood when it comes to college football.
They are.
And it's almost impossible to enter into that conversation if you haven't been in it before.
Right.
I don't know how that happens. I don't know how they drop so low. They're the 12th recruiting class in the Pac-12.
That's unbelievable.
If they had as many teams as the SEC does, they'd probably be the last team no matter how many teams. It's crazy. I don't know. I don't know how it happens. To me, that's a pretty clear indicator that Clay Helton's probably not the guy.
But
they need to make a move.
We've been saying that for 2 years.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for the
At least 2 years ago, they were they had the number four recruiting class in the country two years
unbelievable,
ago.
Unbelievable, man.
I don't know. I don't know how the hell it happens.
I don't see how that happens.
Oh, Clyde Edwards-Helaire missed practice yesterday.
Ooh.
And there were a lot of reports that it doesn't count as journalism, but it's true. A lot of students on LSU's campus saw him on crutches yesterday.
Ooh.
Not good.
Not good, but they could be Oklahoma.
They could be Oklahoma. Three of their best players might not play also.
Yeah. Don't miss Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks as they go against Utah tonight over at the State Farm Arena. The tip-off is set for 7:30. And please make sure after the game, there's going to be a special winter treat, Andy. So make sure you stay in your seats because the forecast calls for snow inside of State Farm Arena.
Wow.
Tickets are on sale now at hawks.com/tickets.
That sounds like fun.
Man, is Jeezy going to be there?
Easy the snowman. Nicely done. Wendy Adams coming up next in the Wendy Zone. She's fired up.
Fired up, Wendy.
So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday, 20 minutes away from the most important audio in the world. I've been looking forward to this for like an hour and a half now, though, because Wendy and Jahi started talking about what Wendy's going to talk about. Randy knows about it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to learn. I'm excited to learn what Wendy is about to teach us about right now, what has Wendy so fired up.
Well, I just came across a headline when I was looking for TWZ stories. Sometimes they're not all about sports, and this one's definitely not about sports, but it's those end-of-year headlines that you see, the lists that come out, or the highest paid this, highest paid that. And
yeah.
I saw this headline, and I'm like, no. And I just had to click on it. So the headline just said, the highest paid YouTube star is an 8-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, great. I'm wondering what the 8-year-old kid is making, because I don't watch YouTube on a regular basis if it's something like sports-related or a press conference or something that I need to click on YouTube. I go and do it, but I don't sit there for hours, and I don't have a favorite YouTuber who does that for a living.
I'm with you. I don't watch new stuff. Like, you know, they've got old games on there, highlight mixtapes or something. You can go check out Randy McMichael's career highlight tape if you wanted to see something like that.
Or you watch
I've done that a few times.
Like an old music video, or we get like a lot of our music from there when we play bumper music. So I clicked on link, and Randy's apparently familiar with this. Yes. So the story said this 8-year-old Ryan Kaji was the highest earning star on YouTube this year. His Ryan's World channel raked in $26 million in the last year. So he's an 8-year-old kid, and what he does on his channel, which launched 5 years ago, it used to mainly consist of him unboxing toys. So he would just go to the store, and I looked back at 4 years ago when his very first video, when he was the right bold age of four, his mom took him to Target.
He started early.
Really early. And I'm really disappointed. I need a child. Randy, I'm going to borrow Samson.
Go ahead.
She took him to Target and asked him to pick out a toy and videotaped him in Target picking out a toy, asked him why he picked it out. He essentially said, I don't know, because I like it. And she videoed him walking out of Target with the bag with the toy and got him home. And it's just him unwrapping the toy and giving his sort of childlike review on the toy. Now, the videos have since advanced to really obnoxious songs with mom and dad participating.
It's so cheesy.
It's so bad, and it makes me so irritated that he's making $26 million, and I got through maybe 30 seconds of the most recent one because the music is so bad, and I really feel sorry for parents who have to watch this video because it's 13 minutes.
For instance, Randy.
Randy. You're very familiar with this 8-year-old kid.
Yeah, Sammy watches it over and over and over. He watches it on his tablet, on the iPad, the TV that's in the kitchen, on the wall. He watches it there all day. Welcome to Ryan's Toy Review.
Hey, guys. What should we do today?
Dude. I have an idea. Let's build a robot.
Yeah,
no.
Dude.
No. We don't want to know.
But no, the crazy thing is that he make all that money and he get them toys for free.
For free.
Like, I sat down and watched maybe one episode recently with him, Sammy, and, like, they had, like, this dude's room. His room in his new house that they bought with all that money that he got from the YouTube channel.
Yeah, all this money.
Bruh, his room. I was like, damn, I sleep in there.
But Randy, you said you've actually bought toys because Samson's been watching this 8-year-old
I bet
child
a lot of people have.
I bet a lot of people have. Yeah. I'm not the only one. But yeah, it's like, hey, Daddy, can I have so-and-so? Ryan likes it. Well, do you like it?
Who is Ryan?
It's a little boy.
Who is Ryan, and why do you like the toy that Ryan likes?
It took me a while
likes.
To figure out who Ryan was. But then I was like, oh. Yeah, that's a nice little damn hustle, man.
No kidding.
Yeah, We're doing the wrong thing. What I need to do is just, you know what? I should just follow you guys into the store. Andy, what are you going to buy at, I don't know, REI today? Can you go and unbox it for me so I can have a YouTube channel and I can video you?
Is he like, adorable, at least, like, or something?
I mean.
Is this a normal looking kid?
He's a kid.
He's a kid. He got a little brother.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's pretty genius.
But it ain't him. It ain't his genius. His parents getting over on him.
Okay, well.
Well, now his parents dress up in the costumes.
They're a team.
Now
I wonder if
he's
seeing any of that check.
I don't know. That's what I was wondering.
I wonder if they're putting some of that money away from him.
Do you think he has a bedtime? Because I wouldn't if I was making $26 million.
I'd be like, go to bed. You go to bed. How about
Mom, I just read the story. I made $26 million.
How about I not make no videos for you today, Ma?
Yeah. I've got to stay up till 10 or else there's no videos tomorrow. How about you go to bed in that bed that I bought you with the $26 million that I made this last year?
R-rated movie I can't
see. Yeah. Now, that kid is in charge. I mean, he's in charge, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He's in charge.
What you mean I can't watch that on my
Yes,
tablet?
I can. I bought that tablet.
What you mean I'm grounded?
And I'm just
You're grounded.
You're grounded. It's my house.
And it's mind-boggling because the number two earnings on YouTube are actually adults. They're five friends in their 30s doing stunts and stuff, so they're working.
YouTube Jackass?
Essentially.
Yeah.
And then I just
read that.
I'll watch that.
And
I
then
just
number
read that.
Three is a five-year-old based in Russia, and her YouTube channel just includes videos. It comes in seven languages, but it includes videos of her just playing with her dad. And she's making $18 million.
Doing what with her dad?
Like just playing games. Scotch? Yes. Essentially, like, what? Yes. Yes.
Because
we are in the wrong. We're doing
well, we just
need
to put this on YouTube.
Does YouTube have, like, parental advisory things? Like,
you can't put weird stuff on there, right?
Okay.
No, Randy.
Okay. Oh, I'm just curious.
Well, that's what Pornhub is for.
Yeah.
Or X-Hamster or whatever it is.
X-Hamster. Yeah.
You can only put stuff that you would
want. It's coming up, too, man. They're making more clear videos.
Samson, watch.
You got HD side.
Excuse me?
Like, she tried to 3D make she, too, she like them. It's funny because you look, my boy Isaiah. All right. Well, he tried to do the YouTube channel and all that.
Oh, he did?
Oh, he's trying. Dude,
that's cool.
He's trying hard.
Does he need some help?
What's he trying to do?
I don't know, man. He just be doing all kind of crazy stuff. I'm like, just don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. Don't expose yourself. And then we cool. And I'll leave it at that.
Randy's always got two rules.
Yeah.
They're always very simple.
They are. They're simple.
Just don't break them.
Just don't break them. There's a whole bunch of stuff you can actually do. Yeah. But those two rules
there's
right
a
there.
Bunch of other stuff you can
those
do.
Those two rules.
Don't expose yourself. Don't hurt yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know.
That's simple.
There's a lot of other stuff you can do besides that. So, but you know, one of those two rules is going to get broken.
Yes. Because he's
hopefully not the bad one.
Yeah.
So they're both bad.
They're both
bad. You know what I mean.
Don't hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Don't be naked either.
I've heard about people doing this type of stuff with their pets, too. Like pets playing with toys and stuff on YouTube, and they make a lot of money. We were going to try to do that with Boone, and then it's just like a lot of work. It's like, we're lazy.
It is a lot of work to make videos.
Like, my wife has a YouTube channel. But it's about trips.
Oh, of your trips?
Yeah. I'm like, what?
My dog has an Instagram page.
Boone got an Instagram?
Yeah, he does. I didn't make it.
I was going to do one for my buddy Groucho, and it's just a lot of work.
Yeah, exactly. That's
it. You got to keep up with
it. Like, oh, this is great. We'll post all the time, and we'll have fun stories and stuff. No, you won't. You post, like, once every 2 months.
Do you want to know what you want to do? You want to go outside and like, hang out or drink beer.
Right, or just do something that's not exploiting your child or animal. But you know what? I'd exploit him if it got me $26 million a year. For damn sure. $26
million.
That's crazy.
All right, we'll move on from kids' social media to adult social media, because J.R. Smith had to go on his Instagram story yesterday to address a rumor about him supposedly cheating on his wife, Jewel Harris. So, Jewel Harris, this is great, and I think I'm on J.R.'s side once you hear the entire thing. So, Jewel Harris, his wife, went on her IG Live with a video where she discussed a relationship between, or alleged relationship between J.R. Smith and this actress from The Flash, Candace Patton. So, this is what she uploaded to her Instagram story.
Yes.
Please keep us locked up, God. We are all hurting. Everybody is hurting. Not just me, but my husband, he's hurting. And Candace, Lord Father God, she's hurting. I pray, Lord Father God, for Candace, that you please just mend her heart, Lord Father God, for her to go out here, Lord Father God, and seek a married man. Father God, I just pray that you give her grace.
So that was J.R. Smith's wife.
I don't think they're hurting.
So here's J.R.
They're
Smith.
They're doing something else.
So J.R. Smith went to his Instagram account to respond to that Instagram video you just heard. And this is what he wrote. He said, IG ain't a place for relationships, but God told me to tell y'all I've been separated for months. He doesn't understand Wallace Child. Failed to mention that. Hashtag that's all.
Dude.
Why
is she crying on Instagram?
Attention.
Why is that anybody business?
It's not.
Dude.
It's not.
Man, miss me with that crap.
I don't like to make fun of people praying or anything
like
that.
I'm making fun of her.
But that's bad.
You sound damn ridiculous. Father God, pray for us. Man, go on somewhere with that, man. What? Do you not think about your babies when you're doing crazy stuff like that? Like your baby's like, her friend talking about some, damn, your mama crazy. You know what I'm saying? You don't think about nobody but yourself.
And now that's out on the internet forever.
Maybe that is what J.R. Smith prayed for.
That's just raggedy.
Maybe he got what he prayed for.
Appreciate it, Wendy. Hey, Radio.com presents the 5th annual The Night Before on Saturday, February 1st. It's at the BB&T Center in Fort Lauderdale, and it's starring the Zac Brown Band. Ticket on sale this Friday, December 20th at 10 a.m. at all Ticketmaster outlets. Radio.com, always on.
That's all right, crazy. We'll come back and get
Father
the
God.
Most important audio in the room.
They hurt. No, broad, you hurt.
I do always find it interesting in people's prayers what their filler is, Lord, Father, God, on that one. My wife's is always like, Jesus, please. Like, it's interesting. Everyone's got theirs that they...
Oh, Father God.
So you can think of new stuff while you're praying.
Oh, yeah, because you got to think of it.
Yeah, because you got to think of it while you're praying.
Father going. God.
Yeah. Anyway, the most important audio in the world coming up next, including the Braves already have their ace, so don't worry about it. They're good. They got their ace. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Please keep us, Lord Father God. We are all hurting. Everybody is hurting.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.